On the Ropes, a novella by Hallie Bridgman. Read by Gene Rowley. Chapter 1. Present Day. Mara Harrison fanned her face with the ball cap, then took the end of her ponytail and wrapped her hair into a bun before settling the cap back on her head. The humidity and lack of breeze, coupled with the Florida summer sun beating down against the gravestones, made her feel like she'd spent the last hour working in a sauna. As she reached for her little shovel, she noted a faint pink tinge behind the freckles on her arm. With rich red hair, pale white skin, and freckles, she hardly had the complexion to work outside in the midday Florida summer. However, she had promised the pastor she would have the cemetery weeded by Friday, and she still had two sections to do. "Time for a break, Mara," Pastor Ben Carmichael chided. He pushed the graveyard gate open with one hand while clutching two water bottles with the other. Despite the fact he'd spent the last 2 hours sitting on a riding lawnmower, he looked cool and crisp in his light blue golf shirt and khaki shorts. Even though his Florida Gators ball cap covered blonde hair, his skin had tanned to a rich bronze since spring, while Mara's freckles provided the only color on her skin, other than an occasional burn. In the 6 months since Mara had relocated to the little village on the western coast of Florida, she and Ben had become good friends. The 26-year-old pastor had bought the long-abandoned and dilapidated church they were working at with money inherited after the death of his grandfather. Over the last year, he had spent most waking moments restoring it and building the congregation. Mara worked from home, doing medical transcription for 4 different doctors. That job gave her ample opportunity to volunteer during daylight hours at the church. She and Ben had laid carpet and tile, built shelves, planted bushes, weeded, and painted until she couldn't stand the thought of painting anymore. Under their love and care, the church bloomed, the congregation quadrupled in size, and Mara knew Ben's feelings for her had grown. Part of her wanted to return his feelings, but a small part inside her held back. She knew she could never put him at risk. She didn't think she could live with herself if anything happened to him because of her. She also knew she could never enter into a romantic relationship predicated upon deception and misdirection. Despite that, she liked him a lot. Whenever he managed to get up the courage to profess his feelings for her, she hoped he wouldn't end their friendship over her rejection. She so desperately needed his friendship right now. "Thanks," she smiled, accepting a water bottle from him. "It's hot out today. Too hot to be right out in it." He gestured at the sun directly overhead. "Why not stop for now and pick back up later this afternoon?" She drained half the bottle before answering. "Can't. Have mandatory training about some changes in medical coding at 3. She used her burning forearm to swipe at her damp forehead. "You have your first funeral here tomorrow. We need to get it finished." He smiled at her, his brown eyes warm. "Had a feeling you'd say that." He gestured over his shoulder with his thumb. "That's why I rounded up some volunteers." 3 teenage boys from the youth group ambled into the cemetery. They all wore swim trunks and tank tops, advertising a national fishing supply store. She knew the tallest boy, Jeremy, had a pool and guessed they'd spent the morning there before coming to work at the church. "Hi, boys," Mara said with a smile as Ben headed back to his mower. "Ready to get to work?"
"Yes, ma'am,"
Jeremy replied, always the outspoken one of the group.
"Mama said we had to spend 4 hours here, and you'd give us the Wi-Fi code she texted Pastor this morning." "We tried going to our house,"
one of the 2 Cantrell boys said.
"But Jeremy's mom had already conspired with our mom."
Mara laughed.
"The Bible says to serve God with a willing heart."
The youngest of the 3 grimaced.
"We're willing, ma'am."
Mara showed them to the section of the graveyard to weed and gave them a wheelbarrow and tools. Once she saw they had it under control, she doused herself with more sunscreen, traded the ball cap for a floppy, wide-brimmed straw hat, and went back to attacking the weeds covering the 100-year-old grave of, according to the inscription on the stone, a beloved grandmother. The new hat offered much more protection from the sun, and the bottle of water she had consumed helped energize her. Letting her mind wander, she found herself thinking about what the air would feel like 1,000 miles away in Manhattan right about now.
"Mara!"
The panic in the boy's tone pushed every other thought from her mind. One of the brothers rushed toward her.
"A snake bit Jeremy!"
Heart pounding, she rushed to where she'd left the boys working. She found Jeremy sitting on the ground, staring at the still twitching body of the headless rattlesnake. One of the boys had killed it with a hoe. The snake looked enormous, 5 feet long at least.